Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show with your host and still April Foolishness, champion of the world,
Wow.
Brad Williams, and my co-host over there, best buddy, Adam Ray.
I saw the show live. It was incredible.
Yeah, I got you a ticket. And
first of all, let's go over this lineup.
Sure. For those people who didn't know, it was the K-Rock April Foolishness show this last weekend. K-Rock, the main rock station here in Los Angeles. The morning show there is Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean put on this amazing comedy show every April. I did it last year. Honor that they asked me.
I mean, it's at the Gibson Amphitheater, which is
6,000 people.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It looked that big.
Yeah.
It's. I saw Tenacious D there like 2 years ago. I mean, it's you... That's an intimidating venue, man.
I've seen No Doubt there. I've seen Kid Rock there. I've seen other bands that people make fun of me for liking.
But Sum 41, Evanescence,
dude,
My Chemical Romance,
Newfound Glory crushed it. They crushed it. It's an intimidating.
You got to bring it to really fill that.
Absolutely.
I mean, you imagine heavy hitters having to fill that, like Chris Rock, George Lopez, And now Brad Williams. And Jay Moore Doug Benson.
On the lineup was Rob Delaney. It was Ari Shaffir, who was our guest last week, who had a great set. Myself. Then
everybody crushed.
Yeah, then Jay Moore, Doug Benson, Bill Burr. Everyone crushed except for the Armenian comedian.
What was that guy's deal? He's like a Kevin and Bean fan favorite, and he just opened the
show. Sam, for those of you who don't listen to the Kevin and Bean show out here in Los Angeles, and if you don't have a good morning show in your area, you can download the podcast of the Kevin and Bean show, and it's always good. Sam, the Armenian comedian, has been a comedian here in Los Angeles here for about 30 years. He does the Ding Dong show at the Comedy Store.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, constantly.
Well, he's already somebody I really want to get to know.
And you got to understand something. He's terrible. You know me. I don't like saying shit about bad things about comedians.
You're making an observation. How long has he been doing it?
30 years.
Okay, well.
You think you'd learn.
All right, well, I was just about to say, cut him some slack. He's just been,
He just started
thirty years ago.
And Kevin and Bean talked to him because he's bad. That's his appeal.
Okay.
And they know that. So they gave him 5 minutes to open up the show. About 2 minutes in, he was being booed.
Yeah, how many people knew that it was kind of a, it's so bad, it's good type thing? Because if they don't know that, I think that's why the boos were coming.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were still just like, look, motherfucker, we paid money for this show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bill Burr's coming up.
Yeah.
You're wasting my damn time.
Yeah, don't warm up Bill Burr with...
My favorite part about Sam, the Armenian comedian, is that he came to the show wearing a T-shirt that said Armenian comedian. as if we wouldn't know.
His shirt said that?
Yeah, his shirt says big letters too. Armenian comedian. Okay, he's cool. I was looking at it going, man, I should have really worn my shirt that says midget comic.
Yeah.
So everyone knows, and there's no confusion whatsoever. But then Rob Delaney went on next. Great set. Ari Shaffir, great set. Then I went on and had a good set. And at the end of my set, here's the thing. I closed my set with something that I have never done on stage before.
Yeah.
And even though I had a good idea that...
great joke.
That was going to go well.
Yeah. You've never done... Did you not miss what I just said?
What's that?
Say what you just said. You just missed it. Say what you just said.
I
closed my show.
Oh, yeah. I closed my show with something I've never done before.
And I said, a good joke?
Yes, a good joke. That's how I wanted to end
completely
it.
Completely.
Sorry, man.
That's right. You were locked into your moment.
I was, and that was an excellent comeback. And so it's this dance routine that was actually inspired from our drunken Gangnam Style video that was done at my condo.
Which is
that
still,
night.
By the way, people's, of all the sketches I've put time and money into, I get the most feedback from, man, you got to do more videos of Brad dancing. I'm like, cool, that's all it took, huh, to fucking get any sort of following on my channel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So for those of you who want to see, who saw the April Fool's show, want to see the original version.
Yeah, where it came from.
Do, I think, YouTube.
Dwarf dances Gangnam
Dwarf
Style.
Dwarf yeah. dances Gangnam Style.
Yeah, 30,000 hits in like a week.
So that's what that's what inspired the bit, because last year at April Foolishness, I closed my set how I normally close my set on the road, and I gave a woman a lap dance. So I can't do that again.
No, you had to up it.
Yeah, you can't go out and just do the same ending.
What were you thinking of for alternate like closers? Because I'm sure after you did, once I asked you back, you're like, I can't do the same closer again.
Right.
Because a lot of these people are going to be coming back. Like,
yeah. I knew I couldn't do the same closer. I knew I couldn't even do just close with a joke, just a good
because people were,
joke.
You set the bar so high.
Yeah, because they're like, what? No cartwheels.
Yeah.
No trapeze.
Yeah.
No flaming balls of midgets going out of cannon.
Yeah. Which, wow. All right. Now you know you're closer for next year.
Yeah. No.
Holy shit.
Next year. So I was nervous.
You were so the dance. You hired a choreographer for this.
I did
because it was like what you did on the video. Let's be honest. Like, you had some of those moves in your back pocket.
Sure, but that's just me freestyling.
But it was freestyling confidently because you're like, I know I've done this move before. Mm-hmm. The hammers, you know, sidestep shuffle.
Right.
But what you did on this one was like full on. I mean, you had turns and butt shakes and points and everything was to the beat and synced up. And then thank God you still did the hammer shuffle.
Have to.
But, and I told this to you afterwards. The point in the video, the original video, where I really, like, start losing my shit, when you start doing the leg, kind of the pendulum thing, where you're just kind of...
From the actual Gangnam Style.
Isn't that what it's called, the pendulum?
I don't know what it is.
You know that ball thing that slides, like, back and forth?
Yeah.
That's what your legs do, but high and fast. And when you start doing that, and you did it in April Fool's, dude, I mean, it was like fucking... It was like, I don't know, like Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff came up from behind you and started to fucking like just like dance. Like people, it went from the level of noise just rose.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and here's what it was. You know how in Angels in the Outfield, they had the angels that come in and then they started helping the angels play?
Yeah.
That was that, only it was like, and these guys are probably still alive, so I'm probably not like, it was like Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah.
And like he flew in and like grabbed my leg and said, all right, little motherfucker, here's what your legs are going to do.
Give you.
Yeah. They did some craziness. Yeah.
Next time you're gonna have to reveal that there's like a really famous celebrity like up at the top with like strings and he was pulling you like a marionette, like maybe
Justin Timberlake's up there going
up at the top.
Bah, bah, bah.
I couldn't have done this by myself, and you point up and they reveal and there's like a box and he's holding like, dude, that's what a great, and everyone, because that would really just fuck people's minds up.
Absolutely.
Then they're like, whoa, what? That was just Brad's a marionette.
Yeah. Shout out to the choreographer. I have to do this. Janice Krell. Who is?
She did a great job.
She choreographed all my the musicals I was in high school.
Holy shit!
So I've known this woman.
Holy shit!
I've known this woman for like 15 years.
And, which were what, by the way?
Like Damn Yankees, Anything Goes. What else did we do? This thing called Once on This Island.
I did that show.
You did Once on This Island?
Yo, first of all, let's just let people know that that's like an all-black cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my high school, one kind of black guy. All white people. And so everyone talking with like Jamaican accents, man.
Yeah.
All white people.
Our school was Asians with
oh
Jamaican
my
accent.
God.
I went to Sunny Hills High School in Fullerton. We have 58% Asian population. Everyone tries out for the school musical because they want diversity on their college transcripts. And so you have Asians like literally going... Oh, the island gods have been good to us. And it's just
one
like, what?
Small world. How does the song go? Do you remember any of it?
One small world.
Oh. Da, 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 da. Can you pull up any song from Once on This Island?
Yeah, anything.
Well, then there's We Dance to the Birds.
I remember in that show, I had to slap this... I like the one black guy in our school was also in the show. I had to slap him.
Of course, they had the dwarf do it because they're like, he's not going to fight back.
So like,
either it's a woman or a dwarf slapping the big black dude.
I had to slap this dude.
What was your line?
I called him a peasant pig.
Oh Jesus!
And then I slapped
this
guy.
Which you know what? Like that's in the script, but like, dude, there's already so much white guilt. Any sort of like, weird. Insult, like, you can kind of like constitute as racist. It's like peasant pig, like, it's the same thing with the biscuit lips, man. Like, peasant pig, what does that mean? It's so.
Keep going. Run,
What's this one?
Yeah, this is the opening of the show.
Okay, yeah. So so imagine 27 Asian kids on stage talking like this.
Oh, look at the star in the sky. And the way the water flow on the sea.
Two different worlds on one island.
Yeah. The Grand Om, owners of the land.
I don't even remember this musical.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a Romeo and Juliet thing.
Well,
like
you were on a lot of Vicodin
eternally
back then, too.
Oh, tons. Yeah.
So she choreographed this.
Yeah.
Choreographed Brad slapping a black dude saying, "You peasant pig," and then being like,
and by the way, my dad standing up going, "That was the best thing you've ever done on stage."
Yeah, of course.
Wait, Dad, shut up.
Yeah. Cut to, she's now being like, "All right," and then you're going to turn around and slap your own ass.
Yeah.
And then do a little shimmy and then do the hammer shuffle. Although she was probably stoked that you called her.
Oh,
let's
absolutely.
Be honest.
Well, that and. This is a woman who, Janice Krell, who, she, like, if she choreographed musicals today, like, the same way she did, she would get fired because
oh, really?
She would, like, make inappropriate jokes all the time. We loved her for it. The best one she ever did was she was choreographing this big ending scene where everyone's kind of, like, together in one final pose, and this senior boy was, like, lifting a girl up in the middle. And he's down there, and she's demonstrating the lift. So the guy is lifting her, and he goes down to grab her, and she just looks down and goes, "Hey, while you're down there."
Wow.
This is like a 40-year-old woman saying this to a 16-year-old kid.
Wow.
And we all just start fucking busting up laughing. And like everyone, like there was one other teacher there that was like, "Oh my God, what's happening now?"
Yeah.
Like it's like, don't worry about
That's
it.
So
it's fine.
Funny.
But yeah, you do that nowadays. Now
it's just everything is so much more sensitive with kids. I mean,
like,
shit, look at the Rutgers coach, man. Like, that's
do
Bill Burr. I don't want to, like, butcher his bit because you should go see him live, tell this
right.
bit. But, I mean, I don't know if you listen to any of the stuff he did about the Rutgers coach, but he was just, you know, he opens with, he's like, you know, and all that, everyone's freaking out, the homophobic slurs, and he's, you know, "Y'all, you fucking, you know, sucking dick and all that stuff" to the players.
Yeah.
And Bill Burr's like, "You know, back in my day, that was called coaching." And, you know, like, giving your players shit and, like, trying,
right.
you know, that was just how you, you know, started to motivate them. But
absolutely.
I mean, that, but in all honesty, like, you've seen videos of that Rutgers coach, right? Like, that's bananas. Like, I try to put myself in the shoes. I think in high school, I guess in any, there's just the, like, you don't want to lose your spot. Like, you're so concerned in playing hard and pleasing your coach that you, I think, lose sight of, in that gym, you almost feel like you're isolated in a thing where it's like anything goes in that gym because we're all here together. There's other
we're
dudes.
A team.
You feel
we do.
Somewhat safe. You're like, all right, if anything did get out of control, somebody would speak up, but nobody really wants to.
I got it.
You got the coach video?
Yeah, I think I have some.
Okay. Oh, we got some.
If you guys want to hear it.
What, just audio of it?
Go for it. Play it.
Rutgers head basketball coach Mike Rice's.
Oh, there's gonna be a whole story.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
report.
It.
But yeah, he
throws basketballs at him.
And
I mean, shoves him. When he like grabbed one of the 6'8" black dudes, I'm like sitting there watching, like eating my you know, Orville Redenbacher popcorn, waiting for this guy to just unleash on the coach.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way he's going to chest bump, grab, pull across the court.
Right.
I mean, what? Like, I'm just like, what are you doing? And these
you're a 5'6", like white dude, little Italian white dude.
Yeah,
like you're going up to a 6'8" black guy, going, "Listen here, you fucking faggot, you stand on this boot and do this thing, and put your hands up like that." It's like, are you serious?
Yeah, really.
I don't talk shit back to elementary school kids because I know they could kick my ass. Meanwhile,
well, let's be honest, some of those kids are like gigantic in sixth grade.
Yeah, I know they're all 4'8". I mean, that's fucking huge, man. I can't.
Did you get any fights in elementary school ever?
God no. Oh no, one time.
Through what? Was it some sort of name calling? Kids are really sensitive to name calling.
Yeah, one time it was, and this goes back to my dad, which I have some April Foolishness stories about him too, because he was there. My dad always taught me. He's like, "Listen, kid's gonna pick on you, so it's, you know, because you're a dwarf and all that. So when they pick on you, tell them to stop one time. If they do it again, deck them."
Wow.
Like that's my dad
so
telling.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Give them a warning.
And be like, "I get what you're doing.
Yeah.
I recognize it.
Yeah.
But I don't like it."
Right.
"So it would behoove you to make this the last time. It would be in your best interest, other sixth grader." And yes, I'm speaking this articulate like I'm in an episode of Gilmore Girls. Okay, well, that's fair. That's good.
Aaron Sorkin writes a third grade setting.
Yeah, I mean, that's his next. That's his next show.
Exactly.
Third graders that walking, talking shots with third graders walking through the cafeteria.
Right. I don't believe my teacher has the perspicacity to educate us on a higher level.
It's Taco Tuesday, dude. Can you imagine some walking? That's actually fucking. That'd be a great show. I mean, how are you gonna find kid actors that are that well spoken? I guess they're out there.
Haley Joel Osment could still pull it off.
You're right. He was incredible.
He's 40, but get him back there.
Yeah.
So this kid and I still remember his name, Alexander Walro.
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 All right. Well,
which sounds like something that the preacher from Princess Bride would say.
Well,
marriage, Tugawa is what brings us together here and Alexander Walro. Right? Like, it just kind of sounds like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe that's why he was unleashing, because he knew his last name was...
Yeah, Walro, and he's like a boy named Sue, where he's kind of like, all right. And he was kind of a dorky kid, so he probably looked at me and went, all right, I'm a dorky kid, I gotta fuck with this little midget, and then, like... Now I'll have dominance over him, and everyone
think,
will respect
I mean,
me.
I would think to not even fuck with a midget, though. If there was a midget in my school, I wouldn't even think. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just a more sensitive, decent.
Well,
and also, I was
a
fat kid,
being.
And I got teased.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I got my fair share of teasing. So,
yeah,
I mean, I was already overly sensitive. But I just, like, why? I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not going to say that I didn't throw it back on. I mean, but I think, quite honestly, I think a lot of my teasing that I gave was... In defense of the, like, fat, because I didn't unleash, I didn't fight back.
Right.
So, I mean, that's eventually why I became the funny kid, was it because I was getting so much, I was the fat kid, and then all of a sudden I started making people laugh, and they're like, oh, Adam's the funny kid.
Yeah, but he's
not
the cool kid.
Yeah, he's not the fat kid, he's the funny kid.
Yeah.
But I think I would, I mean, it was literally a, like, you know, starting to, like, throw it back on people, and then people would laugh at them.
Right.
And all of a sudden I had the power.
Yeah.
So it was really just using the words type thing.
And then that's you just... discovering, like, oh crap.
That was my first startings of crowd work.
Yeah.
Kids being like, you know, you're, you know, calling me, you know, running around the bases and kickball and calling me Jello Jiggler, which I'll never forget that nickname.
Jello Jiggler.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty
genius. That sounds like a bad comic book villain.
The Jello Jiggler.
The Jello Jiggler. Come to get you. Like, yeah. Oh, I wish Ralph Garman was here to do Adam West, but Robin, looks like we've been taken by the Jello Jiggler.
Oh, you guys need to give me my sugar and food coloring and flavor Jello. I'm going to throw all of these packages of orange and cherry at the window, and you won't be able to see. And you're driving to a fire hydrant to goo goo goo.
He throws Jello at guys, they just get stuck in it.
Or maybe he just throws Jello, and they're just like, you just threw Jello at me?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Just clean it off, I guess. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. You're probably right. I should have thought this through.
They call me the Jello Jiggler.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean, but like, and then I would fight back. I remember I called this one kid who made fun of me a lot. I called him Tight Pants.
Uh-huh.
Because he wore sweatpants that were super tight for a child.
Just like impossible to do. Sweatpants.
And dude, it drove.
Pants.
Yeah. By the way, tight pants. Again, this falls into the category of kids don't know the implications of an insult. They don't know that you don't know that, like, fuckface has more weight than tight pants. I just basically go, that's what is happening with you. You're wearing pants and they're way too fucking tight.
Right.
Tight pants. Dude, the kid lost his shit every time I said it. Like, what people would laugh. Because I was like, fuck. And I was like, shut up, tight pants. Dude, one of my buddies had like an anger problem, and he always wore cardboard inside of his hat.
Yeah.
Because it like made the brim stay sharp.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he would have bursts of anger because for whatever reason. So I said, God, you unleash like a tick. Like, you're a little fucking like a tick. You just like, we don't know when you're going to go off like a bomb.
Right.
So I started calling him Tick Cardboard because cardboard in his hat.
Cardboard hat, tick cardboard.
Dude, I was like a fucking walking game of classic concentration. You know where you unveil the pictures and you're like, I plus clock. Oh, watch. You know?
Right.
I was doing that with nicknames.
Oh, seeing eye dog. Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was literally, I was putting together compound words.
Like, dude,
tick cardboard, fucking kids lose their shit.
You're just the Mad Libs of insults. Like, all right, I need a noun, a tick.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is where biscuit lips started from. I mean, the guy was like,
probably.
The guy's eating a biscuit, he's got big ass lips, biscuit lips.
Yeah. And to flash back to that story, I was at a comedy club, and a black guy was, heckling me, and a white guy from the back of the comedy club yelled out, "Shut your mouth, biscuit lips!" And no one knew what the fuck to do.
It is, and like we mentioned, it is the body part that makes it racist.
Right.
Know? Because if I was like, you know, tight pants, if I was like, you know,
doe toes.
Yeah, yeah, see?
Doe toes.
Yeah. Well, that's what we decided, right? It was like body part
yeah,
plus,
yeah, yeah. Body part plus food.
Plus a food from Cracker Barrel. plus a staple item from the Cracker Barrel menu.
Shells and cheese ears. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. It's solid.
Mac okay. and cheese back.
Yeah, you're right. So back to Alexander Walro. So he was making fun of me one day in line, like, you know how he'd line up after recess. And so then I told him, "Hey, Alex, stop,
yeah,
shut up.
You got one strike.
Or else I'm gonna hit you."
Yeah.
And I told him, "I'm gonna hit you."
Now did he go, "Oh, what are you gonna do?" Or
exactly. And you gotta understand, Alex Walro was about like I was probably like 3'7", 3'8" at the time. It's like third grade, so like at 3'6", 3'7". He was probably about 4'8". Like he was a big third grader.
Yeah.
So I like Superman punched him. Like I jumped. And
whoa.
And I like jumped up in the air, and he wore glasses. I don't give a fuck. So I jumped up in the air, yeah. Boom, clock Alex Walro in the face, and now everyone's just like, "Holy crap!"
Oh yeah, dude. Well, first of all, you jumping is fucking incredible. You did it at the April Foolishness in yeah. the bit, and it's like, first of all, because you got hops.
Yes, son.
Yeah, and
I can dunk on a 5'5" hoop,
yeah,
motherfucker.
Dude. I mean, that's yeah. So I mean, I can only imagine like that he. Dude, because it almost does look magical when you jump. So I can only imagine the kids seeing you. That's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon shit.
Right?
You jumping up and then getting eye level with him, that's yeah. got to be like I would be like, "What the fuck? How did he do that?"
Yeah,
like,
he froze.
Yeah.
Like, you're not anticipating that.
No.
You're not like, "Okay, how do I block this move?" It's yeah. like, "No, Flying Midget." You're like, "I got to watch this."
Flying Midget?
Yeah, by the way, I saw Flying Midget last week at the Troop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How was it, man?
Great band. Great
yeah,
band.
Yeah. Did they play...
curb dangling?
Curb
yes.
Dangling.
Yes, they played their number one hit, Curb Dangling. So I hit Alex, and he starts crying, and the teacher sees it and sends us both to the principal's office.
Right.
I go to the principal's office, and the principal looks at me and goes, like, "Brad, did you hit Alex?" And I go, "Yeah." And like he said, why'd you hit Alex? Like, "Well, because he made fun of me. I told him not to, or else I would hit him. So he made fun of me, so I hit him." He goes, "You know what? I'm calling your dad." And I'm like, "All right, fine." So he gets out the number, calls my dad at work, gets my dad on the phone, and he says, "Mr. Williams."
Yeah, he's calling the guy who basically is
yeah.
the one who facilitated this whole. He was probably yeah, soon picking him the phone. Did he hit him? Like he just picks up answering.
Yeah.
Did he get a clean shot? They're like, "What? How did you know I was even calling about that?"
Exactly. That's pretty much what happened. Where the principal called him up and said, "Mr. Williams, we have your son here. And Mr. Alexander Walro." And
my dad's like, "Walro?"
Yeah.
And
my dad just cut him off. He's like, "Oh, Walro, the kid that's been making fun of my son." And my principal,
awesome.
And my principal's
awesome.
Like, "Oh,
yeah." Now the principal's like, "Oh, shit, you knew about this and I haven't handled it yet." Like,
yeah.
Now it's, now
yeah.
your dad has the chips.
Yeah. And he goes, "Well, we just wanted you to know that your son punched Alex in the face, broke his glasses, and, Alex's nose was bleeding a little bit." And
they're expensive glasses.
Yeah,
Lens Crafters doesn't make these anymore.
My dad, I'll never forget this. My dad, there's a pause, and my dad goes, "Did he warn him?" And principal's like, "Yeah, he warned him. He told him not to do it anymore." He's like, "Then I got no problem with it. Send me a bill. I'll buy the kid a new pair of glasses, and if he makes fun of my son again, he'll break that pair too." Click.
Whoa!
My
Whoa.
Dad is a fucking Superman.
Gangster, dude.
Yeah, and like...
Yo, if he wears another pair and he makes room, he'll break that pair too. Dude, that's
Click.
Awesome.
And then, like, Walro's sitting on the chair next to me, like, pissing his pants at this point. He's like, "Holy shit, the midget son beat me up, and
yeah.
now the dad's, like, putting a hit out on me."
Yeah, dude.
It's over, so yeah.
He's like, "I gotta get contacts." I can't have anything... Oh, my God. Dude,
so,
that's...
Alexander Walro never fucked with me again. And I don't know where he is now. He's probably... Well,
let's hope he's thinking about calling into this podcast.
that would...
God, man. See, that's
I'll look him up.
That's the reason to start getting to a point where we start taking calls, man. Because that would be... That's some Oprah shit where you're right? just like, you talk about the guy who molested you and then he calls in.
Okay.
I don't know if that ever, I mean, all right, clearly I haven't watched Oprah in a while. I don't know if that's actually what went down.
He's probably saying, hey man, he was wearing tight pants. I had no choice.
He was a Jello Jiggler. You know how slimy that guy is. He slid his way right in with that fat dick.
Hey, you know what? Some people may listen to this podcast who went to Laguna Road Elementary School with me. So if you do, and you know where Alexander Wabro is, let me know. We'll call him up and get him on the podcast.
Now, would you bury the hatchet with him? Because I think time heals everything. Because I know there's a kid named Dustin Brody.
So okay.
I'll never forget the name. Who shoved me down once at
recess. Dustin Brody. Two first names. Can't trust
also,
that.
Also Brody.
Much like Adam Ray.
Whoa. Hey, but I got cool green and maroon pants. You can trust a guy in two of the rainbow colors.
I agree.
Is maroon a part of the rainbow? No, it's red. It should be. See, maroon is like the ugly stepsister of the rainbow. Maroon always sees a rainbow, and everyone's like, look, a rainbow. And maroon's like, yeah, fucking great. Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. No, it's great. No, it's a rainbow. It's fucking, yeah. We get all the important colors up there. Holy shit.
That was a great humanized stoner.
The color maroon.
Joke.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So Dustin Brody, recess, he shoved me down. It was like a rainy day, like mud everywhere. Yeah. And so I fell into the mud. Everyone laughs. I fell like against a fence, covered in mud. Dude, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, when you're
than
a kid.
Your entire wardrobe is now. You're covered in mud and shit, and you fall. First of all, falling down. Kids appreciate physical comedy just as much as anybody, even if they haven't seen Chevy Chase as a third grader.
Yeah,
you see somebody fall or get hit in the face with a kickball. That's all you're talking about for the next 6 weeks at school. Did you see Dave get hit in the face with a ball? No. Well, here, let's do it again. Boom. Fuck you, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. So I fall down covered in mud. I had to go get emergency clothes.
Oh.
Do you know what emergency clothes were? The same as emergency lunch, where, like, if you forgot your lunch, we had this thing where they'd give you, like, a half-drinking carton of milk and a grilled cheese sandwich.
From yesterday.
That somehow had peanut butter on it, because it somehow, in making the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, it's like when you get, like, a taco from Taco Bell and there's a French fry in it. You're all right, it's all fucking, right. You know.
Taco Bell.
Sometimes these two worlds blend together. Am I upset about it? No, because I'm fucked up.
Right.
It's 4 a.m, I'm not going to eat a taco with French fries in it. But when you're 9 years old and you get a grilled cheese peanut butter sandwich, you're like, all right, maybe you can fucking separate the two condiments.
Sure.
So I got to get emergency clothes. Mm-hmm. So I go to the nurse, covered in mud. They don't have fucking J. Crew selection for kids.
No, they don't.
They're not making your life better.
They don't get out the rack and go, would you like something in a red? Yeah. Maybe a plaid would look good on you?
Maybe plaid. You know what? this lime green really compliments your brown hair and your fat Jello Jiggler ass. So you don't fall in mud and get a better wardrobe. You fall in mud and you get the straight to VHS clothes collection. You get the shit that Goodwill goes, fuck that shit.
You get the last three Ernest movies.
Yeah.
Of clothes.
Yeah, you get the stuff that Salvation Army goes, yeah, we're good.
We're not talking Ernest Goes to Camp. Yeah. Those are quality.
Yeah.
Those are quality. We're talking like Ernest drives a dump truck.
Oh shit.
What was Ernest Goes
to TCBY.
What was the new movie with Triple H in it? It's called, I saw it on my Netflix. It's called The Chaperone.
Oh Jesus.
Where the wrestler Triple H plays the chaperone of a field trip.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that wasn't released in
theaters. Sounds like not a bad idea for a movie. You just got to get somebody like,
well, I mean, they tried it with
like
Hulk
Tony
Hogan.
Danza.
Oh crap.
You got to get Tony Danza being the chaperone.
It's not one show without Tony Danza.
Well, if there's one movie you should make with Tony Danza, it's Chaperone. Here's the thing, cuz I'd be a great chaperone. I'd show up, I'd give the kids free cheese squares. Right. All sorts of cheese. I got a whole cheese basement. I got Gouda. I got Swiss. I got cheddar.
By the way, I saw a cheese basement opened up for midget dangling.
Oh, yeah. Midget dangling. Flying midget dangling.
Yeah,
cheese,
yeah, yeah.
Cheese basement. Cheese brisket.
They were good.
But here's the thing. I would be the great chaperone because I would be the guy who would let the kids drink on the bus. And if there's one big cock block buzzkill, which they're also playing next week at the Troubadour, cock block buzzkill, they're opening for douche my ass and Castaway. No relation to the Tom Hanks film, but they do. But it is the lead singer is a volleyball. Anyway, all right, back to all right. So I get emergency clothes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I walk in. All they have, I get a purple turtleneck.
All right.
And black sweatpants.
All right.
That, guess what? Don't fit. It all comes full circle. And guess what the motherfucker, I didn't plan this on purpose, but guess what the motherfucker says to me when I come back out for the second recess of the day?
I would have called you Grimace.
Well, that's really, really funny, because that's probably, holy shit, that's what I looked like. Oh, my God. I looked like Grimace.
Because this is back when you were a fat kid, too, right? Yeah,
although, you know what? I like, since McDonald's was such a big deal, and I loved all the characters, I probably would have taken that as a compliment.
Yeah, it's like, Grimace? Oh, man, that guy's always happy.
Jello Jiggler is a fictional character, so you don't know what he looks like or what his deal is. Right. Grimace, you associate with delicious cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
So if anything, he's calling me a delicious cheeseburger.
Yeah, it's fine.
But no, he calls me tight pants, because I'm wearing black pants.
It's revenge.
Yeah, but he was like throwing me, and I'm like, dude, it doesn't have the same effect. I already used it on you.
Yeah.
You call me tight pants. Like, your pants, you fit in your pants. You're just too tight.
Yeah.
I can't fit into pants in general. These ones, I got emergency pants.
Right.
And a purple turtleneck. Dude, it was awful. I had to go to, I mean, you know, again, as a kid, you're not totally fashionable yet. You haven't, but you still have an idea and opinion about what you, you're
sure.
Still looking in the mirror being like, yeah, today I'm going to wear hammer pants and a mesh jersey.
Darn right.
I'm going to wear a Detlef Schrempf jersey and hammer pants. Like I consciously make that move.
Yeah. And you have that old bit in your act where you talk about how badass No Fear t-shirts were.
Yes.
Everyone just wore No Fear t-shirts and you were fucking scared of that.
Exactly.
Kid.
Exactly. Because you saw him. You saw him wearing a situation that was scary. Like, you're seeing him wearing confidently, you know, bottom bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, two outs, full count.
Right.
And you're like, dude, if he's wearing that, there's nothing. I can't. This kid's, you know, what am I? This kid's not afraid of anything. If he's a child and he's basically saying, fucking, if I was, you know, in that situation, like, you know. But so, you know. Purple turtleneck, gray sweat. I mean, nobody should have to ever be put in that situation.
Oh, my God.
It was awful.
That's hilarious. Speaking of the Rutgers basketball coach, which got us into this, SNL.
Did you see the spoof?
Yeah. They did a great parody of that. If you guys haven't seen it.
My girl, Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, who co-stars with Adam Ray in the movie The Heat.
Yeah, I mean.
Coming out in June.
Yeah, she co-stars in my – no, let's be honest. That's her and Sandra Bullock's movie.
Was coming out in April, testing so high that they're putting it back towards June, Adam Ray.
Yeah. I saw it last weekend. I saw a screening at Fox. Dude, it's really fucking funny, man. It's almost like when your friends are like, go to see you do stand up and they haven't seen you do it. They're like a little, they're like, I know you do it, but I'm fucking, like, even though I know what I was a part of and the script and like who's involved, you're still like, fuck, I don't know. You just don't know. But dude, it's really fucking funny. And it's a sweet story, man. It's like, you know, I know the studio was like concerned that there wasn't a love interest, but the relationship between Sandra and Melissa, like becoming friends, like it's really, it's good, man. And
I'm excited.
A lot
to see
of laugh
it.
Out loud moments.
And what made me, part of the thing that made me so excited to see it was I TiVo'd SNL this Saturday where Melissa hosted.
Yeah,
I think this season and probably in the last season too, as good as Justin Timberlake is, from beginning to end.
Oh yeah,
every sketch was good.
Yeah.
Every sketch.
Yeah, what were we talking about? That pizza?
The pizza lady.
Yeah, she wants to pitch a pizza. She wants to get a loan for a pizza business.
Yeah.
Just that voice. I mean, dude, that's just a thing, man.
My name's Barbara. Yeah. And here's a pen to sign the check.
Here's the pen. I eat the pizza.
And she's like pitching the ways. The commercial would be me driving in a van in slow-mo and the kids throw me the pizza or something. I mean, that shit's like.
And that's when I realized how talented Melissa McCarthy is, because
she does that, and then she has a butch, angry lesbian basketball coach.
Right.
And then she does a, like, ditzy bimbo Wheel of Fortune. I mean, it's like, versatile, man.
And then also, what was the other one that I liked? Oh, the woman in the honey-baked ham competition.
I didn't see that one.
Oh,
I didn't watch it all the way through.
Oh, that's a great sketch. She comes out as a woman in a honey-baked ham competition.
Oh, my God.
Who, like, and then, so she's supposed to, and she's like, last year you guys judged me, and you said I didn't have a good presentation, that my ham was good. And then she starts like, so here goes my presentation. She starts busting into this like version of like a cheerleader move. Two guys come out wearing pig outfits. She's dancing and like she's like trying to have a scene from like Bring It On. Like she just starts, and it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So if you could look up any sketch from that.
Yeah, from that whole show.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's no Brad Williams Day for Foolishness. But if you weren't there for
Dude,
that.
Let's get big enough, by the way, so you can host SNL.
Right? Yeah, and then we could do a dance move where you're out in a pig outfit. Yeah.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Oh, God, that'd be great. It'd be so much fun. One thing that I noticed at April Foolishness, which was kind of weird for me, because I was the only one that had, like, friends there.
Yeah.
I wanted to share that with everyone. I had you. I had the Jadens, the Jaden Cole and Jaden James, you know, for Eye Candy, and they're fucking great people.
Yep.
I had my sister, my brother-in-law, my parents were there.
Yeah, it was
there.
Great. But then you want those are
Jenny Danielle Stewart, who's a fucking great comic.
Why do any of this if you can't, you know,
can't share it?
Let your friends, you know, get some perks and enjoy it with you. I mean, it's like,
and it was totally worth it just because my dad was backstage. Talking with Jaden James, who is an adult film star.
About back problems. No, it was. They were both being like, I've got back problems. For different reasons.
They were. Yeah. Now my dad doesn't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know she's a porn star, or maybe he does, but doesn't want to admit it. How crazy would that have been if he just walked in and went, oh, Brad, so proud of you. You did a great set. You know Jaden James?
Yeah, why?
What? 68
pulls out
dad.
Headshots for her to sign out of his pocket.
Right, but like he was talking to her about back problems, and Jane's like, I'm on a muscle relaxer right now for my back problems, and like my dad has a bad back because he's played golf like every day for the last fucking 7 years, so he's got a bad back. Jane James has a bad back because she gets bent over couches by two different black guys and reamed from different angles. That's why she has a bad back. But she's like, that's the same thing. Put a little ice pack on it.
You're addressing the concern with the same, you know, with a little Ben Gay never hurt anybody.
Ben Gay, great porn name.
great porn name. What would your porn name be?
Oh, well,
would your porn name be the same as like your superhero name?
Don't you have to do that thing where you?
We're gonna go. When do we start? By the way,
we start at like 2. We start at like 1:15.
Yeah,
so we'll go like just 2:10. A little long. Yeah,
well, I got another show.
Yeah, but then we're the show after, and then it's free, so we can go a little long. We're going along.
We got another show.
That's all we're saying.
You got another show after us?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were supposed to be here at 1.
We're doing this on air, so let's not do this on air. Let's just talk for a bit.
We'll be good. We'll be good.
We'll be fine.
It's like fighting with mommy at the dinner table when the friends are over.
Yeah, exactly. But we, I think when you do a porn name, you do like your street, the street you grew up on, and then like your first pet name or your second pet name. Isn't that a trick? Like your first pet and the street you grew up on.
Yeah.
So my porn name would be Coco Yucca.
Coco Yucca.
I had a rat named Coco, and I lived on Yucca Avenue.
Coco Yucca. I don't know if I like that.
I don't know if I like that.
I don't know if I
want
to watch any of your work, man.
I don't know. Starring Coco Yucca.
God.
He makes the girls in Two Girls, One Cup blush.
Yeah.
No.
Jesus.
We don't want to do that one.
It sounds like a cereal that never made it.
What?
Coco Yucca Crispies?
Coco Yucca Crispies.
No, thanks, man.
Well,
which, by the way, would be, I mean, you might as well just take a cereal for your stripper name.
A cereal for my stripper name?
I mean, you know my, I might actually do this on the, you know, I'm doing Adam Devine's Comedy Central thing today.
Oh, nice.
It's basically the new Gotham, what you did.
Yeah.
But they're doing it at a house party, and so there'll be like party, like vignettes of party scenes in between.
Okay.
But so one of the jokes I was thinking about doing was one about how, you know, first of all, just that the reason fat kids get fat is they have no self-discipline, all the delicious treats, cereals keep getting sugarier and sugarier, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups, cinnamon toast crunch, donut cookie pizza, baked beans, macaroni cheese, fat fuck crunch. And then I'm just like, you know, there should be a rule of thumb, you know, if the name of the breakfast cereal sounds like the name of a stripper, don't give it to your kid, right? Trix,
Fruity Pebbles,
Lucky Charms, Special K is probably the stripper with one leg who comes in late to work every day, and they're like, yeah, we got Golden Grahams in the back. You can take the week off. And then I'm like, welcome to the stage, fellas. Make it loud, make it noisy for the very sexy, the very tasty Honey Bunches of Oats. And everyone's like, Honey Bunches of, no thank you. I don't want any bunches of anything dancing up on me.
Honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
Honeycomb, hey.
Mm-hmm. It's Honeycomb, boo. Yeah.
Oh. Captain Crunch is probably the pimp, right?
Hey, you got to go give your money back to Count Chocula.
Yeah.
He will fuck you up, Count Chocula.
Rice Krispies, where you been, bitch?
I'm sorry. I was so sorry.
Is Rice Krispies Asian?
Of course, Rice Krispies is Asian.
Right, so that's...
Because you have a Rice Krispie, but she was too busy because she was doing a performance of Once on This Island at Sunny Hills High School, which is 58% Asian. Population.
One small world.
Well played.
Well played, sir. Well played. We got to get you on April Foolishness next year, man.
It'll happen.
It'll happen.
Well, I don't know about next year. I mean, we'll see, man. We'll see. It's enough time between now and when the...
Yeah, you got this movie's going to hit.
And lead to some more shit.
And lead to some more shit. Let's play a real quick game, because we haven't done our games recently.
Yeah.
Let's play a real quick game What Will Adam Believe? And that will be how we go out.
Perfect.
So here we go. For those of you who don't know this game, Adam is kind of naive. He believes a lot of stuff. He believed when two kids came up to him in elementary school, talk about school bullies. Kids came up to Adam and said, "Hey, did you hear your parents who are divorced are getting back together?" Adam's like, "Of course, random kids."
Hurts, by the way. Yeah. Every time you even just mention the flashback, for a minute there, I'm almost like, "Oh shit!" Like I hear you just mention it, and I'm like, "Did they really get?" Even though they're both remarried and happy, I'm just like, "There's no reason for them to reconcile at this point."
Even now. So I read three stories to Adam Ray. Now, one story is true. The other two stories are false.
They all sound incredibly true. Let me just, say that I'm gullible, but you pick some good ones. What was the one about the black people eating crocodile or crocodiles eating black people taste better?
Yeah, I told you one time that scientists approved that crocodiles think black people taste better. And then you're like, that's definitely the true one.
Jesus. I don't know what was going on with me that day where I was just wanting to believe that blacks were tasty. Something was going on that day.
You were smoking special K. So here we go. Here are the three stories. Okay. One is true, two are not. First story. Bone fragments from Kevin Ware's shin are being sold on eBay right now. Kevin Ware, the Louisville player that had the brutal
injury.
That
for sure sounds like it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But read the other options, I guess.
Story number two. Target, the store Target is coming under fire because they have a plus size dress and the color of the dress is manatee. So they're in trouble for that.
Target has a manatee.
Manatee colored plus size dress.
Oh, it's not called manatee.
What?
Is it called manatee?
Well, that's the name of the color. Like, the color is manatee, and then fat girls are getting mad because you're like, really? It's a plus size dress.
Okay, so the color, okay.
Put the color manatee. And then scientists in Norway.
But it's not called, manatee sized.
No, it's like.
But the color is called manatee.
It's like manatee gray.
Yeah, that's not very nice. Manatee gray. Yo. All right. First of all, I'm calling your bluff on that one. That's fucking bullshit, dude. Not only is your little bit of a smirk starting to pipe through, but I think you need to hop back into some acting classes because I did not buy that shit for a moment. Even though that does sound plausible.
Here you go. The last story. Scientists in Norway discovered an ingredient in Twizzlers may help cure Alzheimer's. So let's go. So let's recap that,
and make your cum delicious.
Absolutely.
So, it's a double winner.
Only if that shit be pineapple flavored, motherfucker. All right. Here, three stories once again. Bone fragments from Kevin Ware's shin are being sold on eBay.
Yeah, it's for sure that one.
Story number two, the Target stores are being come under fire because they have a plus-size dress in the color of manatee
gray. Can you imagine?
Gray.
First of all, Target's not that. Well.
Third story.
What's up?
Third story. Scientists in Norway discovered an ingredient in Twizzlers which may help cure Alzheimer's. Those are the three stories, Adam Ray. Which one is true? Which are false?
What's at stake here again?
Absolutely nothing. Nothing but your pride, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the manatee thing. Here's the thing. Target, I'd like to give them credit for thinking they can get away with something like that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, as much as Target has everything, nobody who works at that store knows where anything is in that fucking place. Like, have you ever asked an employee, you're like, hey, where are the razors? They're like, oh, they're... next to the peanut butter. And the
There's whole... Legos over there. They're probably there because they have swords. Yeah, like the Lego guys have swords. Yeah, so
just,
maybe...
just shave your face with a Lego sword, man. Or...
Yeah, it's fine. They got, yeah, they got the new Power Ranger thing.
I asked the guy once where the razors were. He sent me to the home and garden section. Like, that's where he pointed me to. Like, he didn't maybe didn't know that's where it was. But I get there and I'm like, is this like some fucking like, was that, is this like a sick joke? Does he think I'm like that hairy that I'm going to like,
yeah,
trim my pews with garden shears,
right? Like the old hack joke of you look like you styled your hair with a weed whacker, man.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That one, that's funny.
So that's for sure not that.
Okay.
The first one, yeah.
So you're going with Kevin Ware bone fragments,
yeah,
from his shin are being sold on eBay right now.
Yeah.
All right. Wrong. You get nothing. Good day, sir. You want to know which story was true, Adam Ray?
None of them, you sack of shit.
You want to know which story was true? Mr. Brad has bad acting class. Target
is getting in trouble.
Because one,
are you serious?
I actually got this story from SNL because the story was done in their weekend update. They have a plus-size dress that they sell at Target, and people are getting mad because the color of the plus-size dress is manatee gray, and the color of the small dress is just gray.
Why? Yeah, why would you do manatee gray?
Manatee gray.
No, are there not other sea mammals that you can pick a color? Even shark gray, like,
right.
Like, ooh, yeah, I'm sexy like a shark.
Yeah,
no, manatee fierce. Gray. There's nothing. The
not
only adjective that you use when you think of manatee is fat as fuck. You might as well call it fat fuck gray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my god.
Right?
Yeah, fat fuck gray, or like Khloe Kardashian gray.
Whoa,
or like some. Yeah, what's up, Kardashian?
We're trying to get her as a podcast guest, man.
This studio isn't big enough.
Wow!
In size, not,
you know what?
Not in popularity.
Fat Adam is really getting a little sensitive.
Well, we have another show that's coming on here on the GoCast Network, so we got to make way for them. But we are going to try to record another podcast this week.
Yeah,
we're going to try to give you guys two a week if we can.
Yeah, dude.
But because you guys have been loving it. Adam, plug your stuff.
Find me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy at Adam Ray Comedy. Just released a new video with the hilarious Jeff Richards called iPhone Ringtones. So check that out on my site, AdamRayTV.com. I'll be at Syracuse this Sunday with Chris D'Elia. I will be at Flappers with Brad Friday and Saturday.
This Friday and Saturday, Flappers in Burbank.
Yeah, please come out to those shows. We'll be at the Ice House in May. I'll be at the Denver Comedy Works coming up and the Kansas City Improv. And
going all over the place, Adam Ray.
So check the dates. And then in Hollywood, Laugh Factory 3 times this week, all over. Come see Brad and I.
Yeah, and I'm BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. All my tour dates post on BradWilliamsComedy.com. Got dates coming up, like we said, at Flappers. I'm coming to the Comedy Spot in Arizona. Coming to Governors in New York.
Nice.
And the I don't know what the name of the club, but it's in San Antonio, Texas. Please go to my website for Adam
Ray.
Rate
the podcast. Rate the podcast.
On,
subscribe. Tell your friends. We got a slew of great guests coming up.
Absolutely. Some of which were probably comedians. Comedians at April Foolishness.
Ooh, hello. Maybe some that rhyme with Binbad.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about Sinbad.
For Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night show. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.